We're going to look today at the thought of gifts. If you feel like kind of a topic that's worthy of discussion this time of year, just praying through what to preach on today. Take the next couple weeks off in reference to Mark. We'll come back to it as the Lord will allow us to and start back. I'm excited about Mark 12 because we get into some parables there. So it's parables that are in between when he rode into Jerusalem before his crucifixion, and they're really powerful. We'll pick that back up after the first of the year. Today, we're going to look at God's standard for gift giving. And you can turn over to James chapter number 1. You'll find the word gift used, gift or gifts, gifted, gifting, those things aren't there, but gifting, gifts are 104 times the word is used in your Bible. And we all definitely like to receive gifts. And some of us even like to give gifts, amen? Not everybody's learned the blessings yet of gift giving, so some don't really like to give. They do like to get, amen? And so I wrapped this nice big old gift today, so we can just put that up there just to remind us of what we're talking about today, gift giving. Not all gifts come wrapped like that, some do. And so this one, this box is gift wrapped for us today just to be a reminder of what we're dealing with this morning in reference to gift giving. I want to look today at what the Bible actually gives concerning this topic, and I believe it will be a blessing to us today. Let's look at James chapter 1, and I want to read verse number 17, and then we're going to have prayer, and then we'll read a few more verses here in James chapter 1. Verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this opportunity to meet together today. I know some are sick, some are traveling, things like that, but I am very thankful for each one that's able to come today and those that are able to zoom in and just take part in that way today. But most of all, we're thankful for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, and dying on the cross and shedding his righteous blood, that blood might be applied on the mercy seat of God in heaven then, and be applied to our account as well, that we might have our sins forgiven and to forever be with you, just like that song that was just sung spoke about. We're so thankful, God, for the fact that you redeemed us through thy precious blood and purchased us. And we're thankful, God, to be yours today. Help us now, I pray, throughout this message, might it be everything that you want it to be. Speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you, God, for what you do throughout this message in Jesus' name. Amen. In James chapter 1, verse number 12, it actually begins to show here what was being brought forth before that verse that we just read. Verse 17 said, "Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above." But what is the context of this being spoken about? Well, in verse number 12, it says this, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that loved him." We see God giving a crown. We find that God, you look through the scripture, God is constantly promising and giving us all kinds of neat things, amen, things that we could not get for ourselves, but yet God would impart unto us based on certain conditions. And in this particular text, it says that if we'll endure temptation, if we'll make it through those trying times, and that we'll keep seeking God through it all, he says he promises to give us that crown of life. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Verse 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." God is not the author of your temptation. God is not the problem in your life. No, he's the solution. Amen. He's not the problem. He's not the one that's trying to get you to do wrong. That would be the enemy, the devil, amen? And we find that when we are tempted, we just need to understand the source of that temptation. Look at verse 14. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Now, what's just really amazing about this text is it shows that God promises to give us a good gift, that crown of life, if we'll endure temptation and love him. And then it says, but there's something else that wants to give you something, right? And we find our own flesh. One of the enemies that we have three enemies, the devil, the world, and our flesh. And each of those want to give us gifts also. But these are not good gifts. These are bad gifts. And so your flesh wants to draw you away by your lust and give you some sin. And the end result of that gift, it's a gift that keeps on giving. The end result of that gift is death. Now, if in this box was a plague, and I offered that to you and said, ha, there's something good in here, and you open it up and it ended up causing you to get sick and die, you wouldn't be thinking, man, that was a good gift. But that's really what the gift of sin is. The gift of sin, it may have some pleasure for a time. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But ultimately, sin is a downward spiral that leads to death, right? And so this is the contrast we see in this text of Scripture, that your flesh has something for you. It wants to bring you unto sin and give you sin. The problem is that when sin is finished, it brings forth death. Look at verse number 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Now, why is he saying this? Because he showed in the previous verses that not every gift is good. Some gifts are bad. Some gifts you don't want what ultimately it will bring into your life. But every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it says this, it says, it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. On the surface, through and through, it's good. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. Now, we find that the good gift he's referring to, as it's expounded in verse number 18, is the word of God. It's the word of truth, right? Because every good gift is from the Father, but ultimately they are begotten through the word of truth. And so the word of truth, the word of God, is the means by which the Father gives us good gifts. You see that? And that's all brought forth in this text. And it says, by this truth, the word of truth, that then we will be a kind of first fruits of his creature. In other words, contrast that which the gifting of the flesh, which is sin, which leads to death. But with God, he, by the truth, he will give us gifts that ultimately will bring forth fruits of righteousness in our lives. Isn't that amazing? That's what we see concerning gifts in James chapter number 1, verses 12 through 18. When we talk about gifts, you will have four components. You will have the giver of the gift. You will have the receiver of the gift. You will have the gift itself. And then you'll have the motive for the giving of that gift. Those four things we want to look at today and kind of bring gift giving into a very concise package for us today. We have the giver, the receiver, the gift, and then the motive that brought forth a gift in the first place. Now, God shows us that comparison here in this text, as I've pointed out. And with the gift of the bad gift there, we had the giver of the gift, which would be our flesh. We have the one receiving the gift, which would be ourselves. We have the gift itself, which is the sin, right? And then we have the motive. What's the motive of the flesh? What's the flesh's motive in giving gifts? Temporal pleasure, that's right. Temporal pleasure. It doesn't have everlasting to give, but it does have temporal pleasure. Very good. Isn't that awesome? So we see all those there. By the way, we look at the Father. He has good gifts by the word of God. So he's the giver, we're the receiver. The gift is the truths of the word of God. And ultimately the motive is, what's God's motive? His love for us. His motive is he loves us. So do you want to receive a gift based on a motive of love? Or do you want to receive a gift based on temporal pleasure? And this is the thing that we're faced with day in and day out in reference to gifts. Amen? And this passage shows it very, very well. All right, let's go ahead then and turn, if you would, please, over to Numbers. Numbers chapter number 8. Numbers 8 will be in Numbers 8, Numbers 18. In gift giving, you have the giver, the receiver, the gift, and the motive. Now, there are endless types of gifts that you could give and receive if we're going to look at them in particular. There are gifts that we want. And there are gifts that you don't want. Now, as you grow in age, you begin to learn there are some things I just don't want. Right? I know some people, they look forward to a gift of a dog. Please don't ever give me a dog. Amen? A chicken would work because I already got that kind of worked out. But there's others that would say, yeah, please, because they're expensive. I'd love to have one. I just can't afford one. I'd want a gift of a dog. You know, so that would be a good gift for you, right? I've heard John C. talk about some guy he knew, and he ended up getting a house, and the guy actually said to him, I used to think if you could afford to buy it, you could afford to maintain it. After buying this house, he changed his mind, right? Some gifts, when you get them, the maintenance is too high to keep that thing going. So that's not a gift you want. I've seen some really neat, sport cars out there. They're really the supercars. There's a Lamborghini SUV that's recently come out. That's a pretty neat looking car. It's actually a 4-seat Lamborghini. Say, would you like to have that? As much as I would, I don't think I could afford the insurance on it. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? I'd love to have it. I just don't think I can afford to have it, right? And so there are some things that you think, man, that'd be a great gift. Well, that gift better come with a pocket of money because I couldn't afford it otherwise. You see what I'm saying? So not every gift out there, not every gift is really something that would be good for us, right, ultimately. There's some other gifts out there that, you know, I gave up drinking a long time ago. I don't want a bottle of booze, amen? I just don't. I won't use it. Amen. It's not going to go anywhere. Well, it will go somewhere. It just won't stay in my house. Amen. I just can't because it's too detrimental. I know what it did to me. I can't handle it. Amen. And so that I'm going to go ahead and put out. You see what I'm saying? So not every gift is something that we would want, nor would we even want to give. Gifts that make you smile. Those are nice. Amen. But there are also gifts that are kind of disappointing. Do you ever watch kids open gifts on Sunday, or not Sunday, but Christmas morning, and they're open up, and sometimes they're like, "Woo, it's great." Other times they're like, "Yeah, it's nice. That's real nice. Yeah, I need that new pair of underwear." Amen. You didn't have to wrap it up. I didn't have to have that one opened. Amen. So gifts to get different responses. There are gifts to enjoy. There are gifts to fill a need. Like socks, amen. There are gifts that are fun. There are gifts that are funny. We like to give those kind of gifts, amen. The jokester gift givers. And then there are gifts that they make you laugh. Others, they kind of make you cry, amen. Some sentimental gift, you know. Maybe someone that passed away or whatever, and you open up this gift, and it's this memorial to that person or whatever. You're like, oh, that's crazy. It's great, thank you. So there's gifts like that, amen. There are gifts that you will receive. There are gifts that make you wonder, why did they give me that? There's all kinds of gifts, amen, that can be given, that are given. And it's not just this time of year that we give and receive gifts. It happens all the time. Now, in gift giving, there's a giver, there's a receiver, there's the gift, and of course, there's the motive for why that gift was given. In Numbers 8, we find an interesting thing about gifts, and it begins to develop from God's perspective the idea of how gift giving should be. We typically look at a gift as like a singular event. Like, I take this, I give, I fill a need, and it's done. God does not look at gifts that way. It's going to be something that's perpetual. And that's what I want to really key in on as we begin to look at this text here in Numbers chapter 8, verse 19. He says, "And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel, to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary." Look over at Numbers 18, a couple pages over there to the right, Numbers 18, verse number 6. It says, "And I, behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift for the Lord to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." You don't have to turn there because you're familiar with it, I believe. But in Ephesians 4, in verse number 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work and the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And so what we find is that God actually gives us people in our lives who are to fulfill certain roles in our lives for the glory of God, but ultimately, in this case, so that there wouldn't be a plague, right? So that gift of people, the ministers, the Levites, which, by the way, this we have the Aaronic priesthood, which actually we have Aaron, his sons, but then you have all the service people that came in through the Levitical tribe. God gave Aaron a tribe of people to perform the sacrifices and services of the temple. And God said to Aaron, this is a gift I'm giving to you, so you don't have to do it all. It's going to be a help to you, and so that it'll be a help to the people. We find every time that God gives a gift, it's for multiple reasons, multiple purposes, and every time it brings God glory and it becomes a help, not just to us, but to all. All good gifts are this way. They are multifaceted in what they actually... Listen, if you give somebody a video game, not so sure that's going to honor God. I don't know. It depends what the game is, I guess. It's going to tie up their time. It's going to keep them from their Bible, keep them from God potentially. Maybe not. Maybe not. And ultimately, through it all people get from that is less of that person, because that person is going to be distracted and not around the family anymore. See the contrast? You have that gift, which all that does is pull that person away from God, away from people. And then you have gifts like this, which engage people in service, which ultimately become a blessing to everybody, to include God himself. Now, we find that Old Testament, we find that New Testament, gifts of the church. Whether if you're a minister in and through the church, you, by what God says, you as a minister, a teacher, fulfilling some role in the church, you are now a gift. You are a gift given by God for that congregation, for God's glory, for the people's help. And ultimately, that gift is a gift that keeps on giving in a good way. Amen? A bad gift is a gift that keeps on giving in a bad way. Amen? Say, well, I gave that, but man, it's done nothing but trouble. Well, it's a bad gift. It was a bad gift. You see what I'm saying? And it might have been a gift you wanted, but it wasn't a gift that God said you needed. Amen? And because of that, it's a gift that pulls down, not one that actually picks up. Now, look over at Romans 12:3. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 speak extensively on how God gives people for the work of the ministry. But before God gives people as gifts, he first gifts them. And this is where you get into the multiple aspects of gift giving from God's perspective. You don't want just anybody to be the pastor. You'd want someone that would be hopefully spiritually mature, responsible, hopefully financially responsible. I see a lot of churches that have a guy as a pastor that's not financially responsible, and before you know it, they're selling the building because they're in debt, and on and on and on. And it's maybe the embezzlement and all that. That's not good. Amen? So there's all kinds of things. Morally speaking, you want a pastor that's right? You just don't want anybody to jump into that role, right? And so you want that person gifted before he's gifted. Does that make sense? Same thing's true of any position. Sunday school teacher, treasurer, amen. Everything, nursery worker, that person needs to be gifted so that they can be gifted. Amen? And so what God does is he actually works to gift people so that then he can gift people. It's very cool. Romans 12, verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly accordingly as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And so that whole passage, if you keep reading, it's going to go in how God gifts us in certain areas so that we can become a gift to the body and be used in a ministry role. This should humble us, not exalt us in pride, because we realize we don't have what it takes, but God does. He gifts us so that then we can be gifted and to the congregation and be a help and a blessing and actually bring about good. Notice the depth and purpose of God's gift-giving ministry. the depth and purpose of it. We should not just give gifts to give gifts. We ought to think through what we are giving. Am I giving a good gift? A gift from above, brought about by the Word of God? Or am I giving a gift that's only going to pull them away from God? It's only going to be a fleshly thing. It's only going to be something that's going to please the flesh. And if that's so, it's only going to be pleasurable for a season. And then ultimately, it's going to bring forth what in their lives? Death. God forbid I give a gift that brings forth death in somebody's life. But if all I do is give a carnal gift, that's all I'm doing. I'm just trying to help us today to think about gift giving. Since we're in that mode, and it might be you have to run back, take a bunch of stuff back after this morning. Amen? And trade out some gifts. I don't know. But I want you to think about gifts because God speaks a lot about gift giving in the Word of God. Well, they wanted it. Well, a lot of things people want hurt them. Amen? I just don't want to be the one giving it to them to hurt themselves with. Amen? And so I think we should think about these things. The depth of this. In Numbers 18, we had read how that priest was given as a gift. Amen? So after God gifts a person with what it takes to be a good gift, then he gives the person in gift of service, gifting them to be a gift to others. And while he's there in that position, what's he doing? He's allowing God, through that ministry, to gift all kinds of people with the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God and the understanding of God and the counsel of God. And then get this, as those people receive those gifts of God, remember the gifts from God come from the Word of God, it says in James. So as those gifts of God, which come from the Word of God, are given to the people, then they grow, God gifts them, so that then ultimately then they can gift others that same thing. Do you see the perpetual nature of a good gift? It's so good, it's a gift that keeps on giving in a good way. I got born again. God gave me the gift of salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. I began to grow, and as I grew by the Word of God, God gave me knowledge. He gave me understanding. He gave me the ability to see things I could never see before and be able to articulate and preach these things. Amen. Which has enabled me, God through me then, to gift others with these things. So people have been saved, more people saved, and then they get gifted in the knowledge of God, which enables them to go out into their workplaces and the highways and the hedges and the marketplace and their homes. And then they take that same gift and then they impart that to others by the Word of God. You see the perpetual nature of good gifts? It just keeps on going. And this is how God has planned true spiritual gift giving. In Ephesians 3, you can turn over there, Ephesians 3 and verse number 7. This is what Paul said about him being made a gift in this way. Ephesians 3 and in verse number 7. He says this, "Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God." Now, grace is a gift. It's unmerited favor. We didn't earn it. For it to be a gift, it can't be something that you worked for. If you worked for it, now it's a wage. If salvation is something we work for, it's not a gift. But God says it's a gift, which means we didn't work for it. And we don't deserve it, right? Salvation, Christ did all the work for. He did everything necessary to earn us the opportunity to be saved. It's not forced upon us. If you go to offer someone a gift, they may reject it. "No, I don't want that." Okay, well, it's yours for the taking if you want it. That's what salvation is all about. I'm going to offer that to you. It's good. I want to offer that to you, but people might reject it. And if they do, then they didn't get it. But if you accept it, you receive it. But you receive it as a gift, not as a wage. And that's what Paul's saying. He said, "You know, I trained under Gamaliel. I did all this religious stuff. But when I saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, that big bright light shined unto me. He said, 'Lord, what would thou have me to do?' I wasn't signing up for a new job. I wasn't signing up for a new wage in a sense." He said, "I just received what God had. It changed my life. Now I'm open for whatever you have. Whatever you want to give to me, I'll use it for your glory." And he says in this text, he says that him being a minister was according to the gift of the grace of God unto me by the effectual working of his power. All the credit went to Jesus Christ. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He never looked at what he did in preaching the truth as a job or as some mundane task. It was all part of God's gift-giving ministry. Amen. We all love gifts. The greatest thing in reference to gifts you could ever be involved in is receiving a gift from God and then giving that gift out to others. It is absolutely amazing. Amen. And the reward is in the gift. The reward is in the fact that it's over the top, the effectual working of his power. Paul would actually say this in another text. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. All the credit went to God. Amen. Now, did Paul benefit from this gifting? Oh, yeah. He benefited with salvation. He benefited with being an apostle unto the Gentiles. He benefited in so absolute many ways. His confidence was not in himself, wasn't in his lineage, wasn't in the place he was raised. It wasn't in who he was trained under. His confidence was in Christ. And he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He gained eternal life, not temporal life. All this world can offer you is temporary things. But God has eternal things to offer. Amen? And those are good gifts. Think of this phrase. Good gifts enable more giving. Amen? God is the standard of good gift giving. And a good gift will always enable further giving. Good gifts enable further giving. I want you to really get a hold of that. When you look over your present list, just ask yourself, do these gifts enable the recipient to be able to be more of a giver? Good gifts always enable more giving. Amen? We'll find that throughout the scriptures. In Numbers 18, if you want to look there, when we receive a gift, we actually receive something and now we have something. You can't give unless you have to give. Make sense? You can't give unless you have to give. Numbers 18 verse 11 says, and this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them unto thee and to thy sons and to thy daughters with thee by a statute forever. Every one that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. These heave offerings and these wave offerings were offerings based on increase. And Israel would receive blessings, and then God taught them to now give some of that blessing out to others, back to God, and then to others. In this family context, they would work, they would have increase, and then they would heave this offering, this wave offering, wave it out. And then the family would actually partake, the kids of the family, people around, and they would partake of that offering. These gifts were gifts that weren't just for one, but would work out to be for many, and would enable more giving. Good gifts always enable more gift giving. Look at Numbers 18 now, verse number 25. Watch this perpetual nature of true godly gift giving. Numbers 18, 25 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them. Now remember, the Levites were a gift. The Levites were a gift unto Aaron and his sons, a gift of ministers in the temple. And because of that, they did not receive an inheritance like the other tribes did. They would actually, the other tribes would give tithes. And those tithes would be a gift unto the Levites. And it's going to show that here. But then the Levites were supposed to do something with that gift. Very interesting. It says in this text, and say unto them, the Levites, when ye take the children of Israel, I'm sorry, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes, which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord. Now, it says, this is great. I am going to bless Israel, the 11 tribes. And as a gift, from the gift I gave them. I gave them a gift of the increase. From that, they're going to give you a gift, a tenth of it. And then you Levites, once you receive that gift, now you're going to give a gift of the heave offering. Do you see that? Perpetual gift giving is how God works. Amen. And we see this. And he says, this will be for you and for the Lord. Even a tenth part of the tithe. This is your, so they would give it, they would be given a tithe, which was a tenth. And then they're to give a tenth as a heave offering unto the Lord and for their own. It says, and this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus ye shall, thus ye also, verse 28 says, shall offer an heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes, which ye receive of the children of Israel. Ye shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. The Levites were given the tenth, and then of that, they would take their tenth, give a heave offering, and then of that also give now unto Aaron, or the high priest, ultimately, which it would be. And it just goes on and on. Look at verse number 29 again. Out of all your gifts ye shall offer. This is what we would call an offering or a sacrifice. We give offerings and sacrifices out of what we have been given. Good gift giving always leads to more giving. It's the perpetual nature of gifts as God teaches. It says, out of your gifts ye shall offer every heave offering of the Lord of all the best thereof, even the hollow part thereof out of it. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, when ye have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor and as the increase of the winepress. And ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your households, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 32, and ye shall bear no sin by reason of it when ye have heaved it the best of it. Neither shall ye pollute the holy things of the God of the children of Israel, lest ye die. In other words, God says, do not mess this gift giving up. He says, I'm going to have Israel gift you from the gift I give them. And then from that gift they give you, I want you then to gift your people and Aaron and me from that gift. And then once they receive that gift, then they will gift from that gift. Good gift giving leads to perpetual gift giving. Good gift giving gives people good things to give. I want you to keep that in mind. Whatever you're giving this season, make sure it's a good gift, a gift that gives good things to others so they can then give good things to others. Perpetual gift giving. We don't give carnal gifts. We don't just give things that are just going to whatever. And I know there's some things that, you know, you might say, well, where's the value in this? You pray about it. You find out there might be value in it that you weren't even considering. But good gift giving is always spawned from God through the word of God so that that person will be given something that ultimately they can gift others with. Whew. Amen. Four things are involved in a gift. There's the giver, the receiver, the gift, and the motive. God's standard for gift giving is good gifts enable more good gift giving. Amen? Good gifts always enable more good gift giving. A real quick warning, though. Look at Exodus 23. Exodus 23 and verse number 8. And thou shalt take no gift. For the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of righteous. Now, in this context, taking no gifts, we'll find it repeated over in Deuteronomy 16, verse 9. It says, thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of judgment. What this is talking about is, if you are in a position like Israel was, certain of these of Israel was, to where they were priests who would adjudicate between civil matters. This is where we get this in our country. You're not to take gifts from people that ultimately you're going to judge over because it will pervert your judgment concerning them. like all these groups out here that lobby, our special interest group and all that's not good. It's not good for the people making the laws to receive gifts from different groups. It's not. It wouldn't be good for parents to accept gifts from their children when they're fixing to mete out a punishment. Mom, before you tell me what's going to happen to me because I did this, I have something for you. I know you've been wanting this watch for a long time when I bought it for you. I just want you to know I love you. It's great to do that, but the parents should refuse that at that time because that would pervert judgment. Does that make sense? And so gifts are powerful, and gifts can be used to manipulate. But remember, there's four parts to a gift. There's the giver, there's the receiver, there's the gift, and then there's the motive. The motive. Why did that person give me that gift? And that's the part we use to discern whether or not we're going to receive or reject a gift. Why would the government want to give you a gift? Because Joe Biden's your best friend? Is that Hunter? He wants you to be good friends with Hunter? Maybe, but for the wrong reasons, amen. Why would the government want to give you something? They want some control. They want you to give some. They want something. Is that right? So you just know this going in, right? I'm with the government, and I'm here to help. If you hear that, you're thinking, I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure. Amen? Now, I'm not saying everything that the government wants to give you is bad. I'm saying you just need to understand. You need to challenge that motive. Why is this person trying to do this? Why are they giving this to me? Someone that shows up out of the blue, you had no relationship with, trying to give you something, right? All those, this time of year, a lot of elderly are preyed upon. And they people come and they try to offer them all kinds of things. We're just trying to help you out, trying to give you we want to help you with the, you know, be close to you in relationship or give you this or give you that. And why, right? Where's the motive? Well, what's the motive of God? It's love. What's the motive of our flesh? Pleasure. You can find a motive behind everyone that gives a gift. It might just be appreciation. That would be based on love too. You just need to know that motive. Let me give you a couple of real quick thoughts on giving before we close today. By the way, Daniel refused a gift from Belshazzar. He interpreted the writing on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin was written on the wall. And the interpretation was, you've been weighed in the balance and have been found wanting. And he actually said before that, if you'll interpret this, I'm going to give you all these things. And basically Daniel said this. Daniel answered before the king and said, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. He says, I don't work for you. I work for God. I want to let God reward me, not you. All Daniel was doing there was he was discerning and saying, I don't want a gift from that king. I want a gift from God. And so he chose to interpret based on God, not based on the king. Now, and I want to read a few passages in Proverbs very quickly. If you want to turn over there, you can. Gift giving is a practice that people enjoy, and when done right, is a help and a blessing to all involved. Proverbs 19:6, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. And that is true. If you want to become a lot of people's friends, you just go ahead and keep on giving gifts. People like good gifts. Amen. People like when you give them $5. People like when you give them some food or something to drink or you know, some tangible item. People like that. People like to be given gifts. That's good to know. Amen. But we don't want to abuse that practice, right? We don't want to abuse that, and we don't want to be abused by it. Proverbs 18:16, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. Your life should be a gift to people. Amen? Because it will make room for you. If you want to be involved in things, if you want to be asked to be a part, your life can't be a negative. It needs to be a positive. Right? That's what we try to teach our young men. Be hard workers. Don't be lazy. Don't just have your hand out and expect something from somebody. Every time you touch something, you leave it better than when you got it. That's being a gift to people. Amen? Listen, we all can do this, girl or guy. We need to have a good work ethic. And we need to be a gift to people, not just a detriment. Amen? Not always pulling, not just a taker. We need to be a giver. Give with a good attitude. If you just show up with a good attitude, you're giving somebody something good. Amen? Start looking on the positive side of things. Don't always be a negative. Amen? When you do that, you pull away. Be a gift giver. Always, with words, with everything. Give. Amen. And that'll be a blessing. And if you'll do that, that gift will make room for you. Say, nobody wants me around. If you'll just meditate on that last verse, people will start wanting, and apply it to your life, people will start wanting you around. Amen. The problem's not people, it's you. Amen. You control how your life goes from this point on, not others. Amen. Amen. That was good right there, preacher. Proverbs 17:8. A gift is a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. What's a precious stone? Name me one. A diamond, a ruby, that's right. Something like that. A gift is a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whosoever it turneth, it prospereth. When you have these good things to give, you have something very valuable for others. Amen? And when you give it to them, it'll prosper them. Good gifts are perpetual and they prosper people. Good gifts help people. Carnal gifts ultimately hurt people. Even though it might have been fun for a time, it hurts them. You see, in the end. Proverbs 21:14. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and reward in the bosom strong wrath. Someone's really upset with you. I want to try giving them a gift. If you want that relationship restored. You say, why is that? Well, the Bible says it. Amen. I ain't giving them nothing. Okay. Well, so much for that relationship. Amen. It's never going to get better. I can tell. We should park right there. Amen. How about giving them a compliment? That'd be a good place to start. Giving them some truth, not the truth that you're trying to stab them with, amen, but truth that actually will be a help. Give them something. It doesn't have to be tangible. It could be. Give them something, amen, and take an interest in them. Give them good prayer. Give them something. Ecclesiastes 3:13 says, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. The fruit of your labor is a gift from God. The fact that you get to enjoy what God enabled you to work and produce is a gift. Don't act like it's not. It is. It's a blessing. Enjoy it, God says. Amen? Lastly, Matthew 2:11. This ties, have to at least tie this into this time of year. Amen? Matthew 2:11. The practice of gift giving around Christmas seems to be connected with the wise men who gave gifts to Mary and Christ at the birth of Christ. Let's look at those very quickly and we'll close. Matthew 2:11, just one verse. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child, because by the time they got there, he was no longer a baby, he was a young child. The three wise men were three kings of the east. And the child was there with Mary's mother and fell down and worshipped him, worshipped Christ. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. These were three kings who traveled with gifts to recognize that Jesus was also a king. These three kings with their gifts did that to recognize the value of one king. Not even so much their equal, because they bowed before him. They recognized him as a king above them, right? And their gifts were such that it just showed that they appreciated him and honored him. But those gifts also were given to him as valuable, so then that king could have something to give. We find with Solomon and all the different ones that came in and gave, these were kings honoring a king that they recognized value in, and they were basically saying, we're willing to take our treasure and give it to you because we know you'll do right with it. Now, last thought about gift giving. Never give a good gift to somebody that doesn't know how to manage that gift. Because we can hurt people with gifts. You got someone suffering with drugs, drug addict for a long time, and you say, I know what he needs. He needs $1 million. No, he doesn't. No. That gift may work for some, it ain't going to work for him. Does that make sense? You say, but I just want to be a help. Well, then find a way to be a real help, because that gift would not be good. Good gifts come from above, and we pray about them, and we ask God. This is how we should approach gift giving. Not fleshly, not carnally, not what do they want. God, what does that person need? You may find out what their needs are in their life, sure. And then go to God and say, God, from what you've given me, what you've gifted me with, how would you like for me to gift this person? And when you do, it should show I appreciate you, I love you, and I want to be a help to you. Not just today, but I want this gift to be a help to you so that then you can be a help to others. There should be a perpetual nature to good gift giving. Does that make sense? Gifts in the Bible. Hopefully this has been a help to you. And I want to offer someone a gift today. Amen. We have our Faith Bible Institute. I know it costs a little bit. I think the cost to it for the first year is $157. And if you're late, it's more like $190. The first year. I'll say this. I want to offer you a gift that'll give you something good that you can perpetually give then words of God to others. If you've never taken, if you're 10th grade and above, you have to be, at least be 10th grade. If you've never taken institute classes and you're never before and you've thought about it, but just haven't really made the jump. I was actually given a couple years back, we had a student graduate, and he gave me a decent amount of money. And he said, I want you to help others be able to take FBI with this. I was praying over this, finishing this, I'm just praying. I was like, God, and this just totally came to me. I was like, that's it. So this guy gifted somebody, put me as the kind of the manager of it. And he said, if there's others out there I can help go through this, I want to. So it's not even a gift for me. It's a gift from somebody else. But I'm offering it to you. If you've never taken FBI classes, Faith Bible Institute, it's a six-year program. You don't even have to commit to all 6 years, but you would need to commit to one semester. If you've never taken classes and you want to, you're 10th grade or above, I will gift you that first semester. It'll be free to you. Someone's already paid for it, and it's not me. But I will give you that semester. It'll come with a Wilmington Guide to the Bible. That book will be given, the textbook, the classes. It can't be online. You have to do it in class. And you need to respect that gift and actually follow through. Do your best. If you want to do that, then I'll give you that gift. And you know what that gift will do? It'll give you Bible knowledge, and it will give you Bible understanding. That's what a good gift is. All good gifts come from above. It's based on the Word of God. It's based on the Word of truth. And then once you have that, what you're going to do with that gift is you're going to give others that same gift. Does that make sense? Good gift giving. God's a good gift giver. Amen. Amen. Good gifts allow for good gift giving in that one you gave that good gift to. Amen. That's almost like a tongue twister, but it just makes sense. Good gift giving enables others to give good gifts based on that gift, which will then enable them to give good gifts, which will enable them to give good gifts. That's how it works. Good gift giving. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love for us. Help us, Lord, to understand the true nature from your perspective what a good gift is and how we can be careful in this area and use it for your glory So that out of the motive of love, as our love for others, that we would seek to give good gifts, not carnal gifts, not gifts that will cause death, but gifts that will have a perpetual nature to them by the word of God, so that then others can take what was given and then give good gifts to others. God, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this lesson today. I just appreciate you so much. I love you and I thank you. Please help now people to process this right, so that this year might be the best year ever in their gift giving. We pray this in Jesus' name.